All right, this is a really a poor picture to put up there at this time of day, especially on a day when football playoffs are going on, probably right now, aren't they? Nobody has their cell phone on, you're not keeping score or anything like that, right? So this has a meaning to me, and I don't know if Gary shared his story here, but Gary a couple of weeks ago went to a conference over in Fresno. I was told about the conference from Bob Whitaker. We've had him speak. It's been a long time since we've had a speaker, but Bob was a professor of mine at Melody Land years ago, and he's not really retired, but he's an old Presbyterian minister that has been filled with the Holy Spirit for many years and written a couple of books. And I invited him to come speak to our ministerial association a few weeks ago, and so he came and he spoke, and then afterwards we sat and spoke, and he was talking to me about this this conference and this group that puts on these conferences, and my life has just been busy. It's just been wrong, you know. It's just been wrong. And so I thought, well, I really don't want to go over there. But I mentioned it to Gary, and Gary, he said he wanted to go. So Gary took off, and he went to that conference. And one of the speakers shared a story. And when I told Gary, when you come back, staff meeting on Tuesday, you've got to share this. You've got to share something from that conference with us. So he did, and he came back, and he shared a story that one of the speakers shared. And he and his wife were sitting at home. They were either watching TV or just kicking back. And his wife felt like she wanted some popcorn, but he wanted chips and salsa. You know, he wanted chips and salsa, and she was eating popcorn. So he said, "I'm going to run to the store and get some chips and salsa." So he went to the store. You know how that is. You know, you just got a craving. You want chips and salsa. You know, so he went to the store to get some chips and salsa. When he got out of his car, he just happened to notice that there was a car there parked with a couple in it, and they looked like they were arguing. They were having problems, you know. And he started to go in the store, but he just felt like maybe I should go and offer my help. And so he went and he knocked on the window of the car, and the person rolled down the window, and he said, I couldn't help but notice that you guys were, you know, in a little problem here. He says, if there's anything I can do for you, can I help you? And I guess he got sort of an angry response. You could imagine that, you know, and just a look like, get out of my face and that kind of thing. But then inside of him, felt like he heard the Lord say, ask him about their daughter. And so he said, how about your daughter? And they both teared up and started crying. Apparently, this couple were sitting there, and they had decided to commit suicide together. But what they were arguing about was what to do with their daughter. I guess they ended up accepting Christ in their life, and their life turned around, and they got on a whole new track because of that brief moment. Gary was sharing this, and of course it's a very touching story. Very touching story, but he shared this in a staff meeting, and I said, that's our problem. Our problem is chips and salsa. See, the thing is that when I look out at this congregation, most of you I know, you know, if you're a newbie, and that's one thing, but most of us here have been touched by God in incredible ways. Most of us have incredible gifts. And we live in a world that's crying out to see some experience of God. And you guys have that inside of you. I sang a song this morning in this early service, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. And that's so true. But we feel so inadequate. We feel like, what really can I do? And our problem is chips and salsa. Our problem is is that we get so focused on chips and salsa that we miss what God is doing. See, if that had been me, I probably would have had the thoughts inside of me saying, I came here to get chips and salsa. My wife is waiting for me at home. You know, I don't got time to mess with this thing, you know, and run in and grab the chips and salsa and jumped in the car and headed home. And so I guess that's really what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about how we get distracted by the things around us and the stuff in our life and the stuff we get hung up on. And we miss those divine moments that big things could happen from. Remember I said on Thursday night in here, when we talked about that passage of Scripture from Elijah, where Elijah was standing in the cave and God said, come out here and meet, you know, and then he saw the earthquake and he said God wasn't in the earthquake. He saw the wind, God wasn't in the wind. He saw the fire, God wasn't in the fire. And when Elijah heard this gentle whisper, he wrapped his mantle around his face and went out to meet with God. And what I've said many times to you in a variety of contexts, God's voice is not the loudest voice in our life. Chips and salsa usually is. It's, you know, God's voice is not the loudest voice in our life. But He's always speaking to us. So let's consider this a little bit. Let's actually, and if you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 40. Those of us who have been reading through the Bible in a year, through the program that we're giving you here at this church, it's the one-year Bible, and then they give you all these readings and stuff so you can read through the Bible in a year. So if you've been following that track, we've been in Genesis this week and reading the story of Joseph. Joseph, everybody knows the story of Joseph, right? Got the favorite son with the colored coat. You know, his brothers hated him because he was dad's favorite son, so they ended up selling him into slavery. And there he is now, a slave in Egypt. That's the Joseph that we're talking about. And you know, Joseph was in the first experience, he was Potiphar's slave, but Potiphar liked him, and so he kind of elevated him as a household servant. But Potiphar's wife took a liking to Joseph. She wanted to sleep with him. Joseph refused to do it. So she got so offended, she made up some accusation. And the next thing you know, now he's sitting in another prison and having to be there. And so while he's there, it tells us a story. And then Genesis chapter 40, it goes like this. Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. Pharaoh became angry with these two officials, and he put them in the prison where Joseph was, in the palace of the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for quite some time, and the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, who looked after them. Now, everybody say, quite some time. You know, I mean, it's like, It's one thing if this event had taken place right after they got there into prison, because everything's new and you know you're. But you know, after quite some time, you get used to stuff. You know what I mean? You slip into the old patterns and it's just like work as usual, and so you kind of stop listening. You just go through the motions. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night. And each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. Did somebody say notice? He noticed. Beginning of this story is what led to not only ministry to these guys, but it also led to Joseph being elevated to the number one guy in Egypt, the vice regent of all of Egypt. And it all takes place because Joseph noticed. He noticed they looked sad. So he asked them, hey, what's going on? And they both shared a dream with him. And Joseph, he interpreted their dream. But it all begins with Joseph noticing something's different. I'm convinced that it's like if we just would get off the chips and salsa thing and just say, okay, God, here I am, and look around us wherever we are, and if we see those divine moments, if there's something that sort of sparked, hey, that couple's not getting along, and we just take the risk to step in, we would see this city turned upside down for God. Because the only difference between those big miracles and the big activity of God and it not happening, really, is noticing. You don't need one more conference. You don't need one more person to lay hands on you and pray again. You don't need to have one more great worship experience. What you need to do is just notice and step towards God and another person. He noticed. They both looked upset. The other night, on Thursday night again, part of one of the scripture readings was from Matthew chapter 13, one of those famous passages of scripture that if I started telling you the story of that particular passage, you'd be going, oh yeah, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road. Another seed fell, on rocky soil, shallow soil, and good soil, right? You remember this. This was one of the scripture readings that I had in my little missalette when I was growing up as a Catholic boy. You know, I can still remember the picture that was in there, of the sower sowing out seed. But the disciples, the first time they heard this, they wanted to understand what this parable was about. So Jesus gave them an explanation, and here it is. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long, they fall away as they have problems, or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and no fruit is produced. The message is crowded out. Chips and salsa. One of our problems with the parables is that we see them globally. It's like, this is about people getting saved. This is about, some people are going to hear the word and they're not going to get, the devil won't even let them understand it. They don't understand it. They never get saved, and other people get saved and then they fall away. But this parable, like all of the word of God, is big. It's big, meaning that it can talk about people coming into Christ, but it also talks about what we do when God puts a word in us. When God gives us a gift, when we're reading the Bible and a passage of Scripture comes off the page at us and we go, oh, I get it. You see, it's like these parables are so big, they can be used even in that way. I can become pretty focused. So focused on getting things done or accomplishing a task. I mean, if that was me, I probably would have gone in the store and got chips and salsa and got home. And I think that's our problem. It's not that we haven't heard enough sermons. It's not that we don't know enough. It's just we get so focused on what we're doing, we miss God. When I When I first moved to Creston, when I lived in Creston, I lived there for 10 years. And when I first moved there, of course, we were out there and that whole deal. But the thing that I decided to do was to start kind of bird watching. Now, I didn't become one of those fanatics, you know, where I'd go hide in the bushes to see all the different birds and that kind of thing, and keep track of them in a notebook or stuff. But I just started paying attention to the birds. And I saw birds I'd never seen before. They didn't just arrive there. They'd been there all along. In fact, when I came back into town, some of the species that I learned to see out there, I started seeing them in town. I go, I didn't know they were here. You see, they can be there all along. And you can miss them because you're not looking for them. You don't notice. The message gets crowded out. Chips and salsa. How about this one here? This is also familiar to you. It's one of those famous parables. It's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. But it is kind of an amazing story in the context that I'm weaving today, the context that we're paying attention to today. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho and was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. When he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there. But he also passed by on the other side. And then a despised Samaritan came along. When he saw the man, he felt compassion for him and knelt down and he took care of his wounds. You know the story. But I want to focus. I just want to think about this. Why in the world would they have passed him by? I got some place to go. I'm on my way, you know. Church is going to start in 15 minutes, and I got to get there, you know. I just think of how much of our lives are governed like that. And we miss those divine moments. Chips and salsa. We pray, God, I want more of you. Yes, Lord, we want more of you. And then we go out and we design our lives and we have a plan and we do our thing and we don't even hear those moments that God gives to us. Except the story, Joseph. He noticed they were sad. There's another story just like that, but it was a divine moment. It was when Nehemiah was serving the king. Remember the story of Nehemiah? And it says the king looked at him one day and said, "Why are you sad, Nehemiah?" He just opened that door. And then Nehemiah prayed real quick. God, give me wisdom what to tell him. And then he told him about the plight of Israel. And Nehemiah, next thing you know, was on his way with help from the king to take care of the people of Israel. But it all came about someone putting aside their own agenda and just paying attention to what God was doing and taking the risk to get involved. I love that story. I love that story about that guy helping that couple. Because, I mean, you know, put yourself in that situation. You'd be going, I'm not going there. You know, it's to take the risk and knock on a window and say, can I help? And I'm quite sure that the guy didn't even know. Because the way that God works in me, it's not like, ask him about their daughter. You know, it's not like, oh, okay, God, I'm going to, you know. Hey, God's, you know, just... They're usually, because God's voice is not the loudest voice in you. It's just a gentle prompt, an idea, a thought that you have. And you can say, well, How do I know if that's God's voice? Well, let me tell you how you learn to hear God's voice. The same way I learned to watch for those birds. You just start doing it. And when you take the risk to start doing it, then pretty soon you see them. Your eyes get open to them. I don't know if you've ever noticed, you know, if you buy a new car and you think, I've never seen too many of these on the streets, and then you buy that car, and the next thing you know, everywhere you go, you are seeing them all the time. It's like, well, everybody must have noticed that I got this car and they liked it, so they went and bought it.
The reason
is because now you're attentive to that car. Why you never saw it before was you weren't attentive to it. And that's what being spirit-filled and being a world changer, that's where it comes from. It's not that you need so-and-so to lay hands on you, or you need the new teaching to kind of take you even farther and stuff. No, really, all you need to do is be attention. Is pay attention. I always marvel at our men's retreats. Always. Because we go up there, you know, and it's like, you know, it's, whether things are great back here or not, and things are okay back here, you know, but something happens when you get up there, and it's like, well, guys, the mountains are so special, and this and that. And it's not that at all. It's that we take time. We give time to God. We simply give time to Him. Our services, where nobody's sitting there looking at their clock, this is going on, that's going on. We've given that time. And so in our services, we wait and we kind of take the risk to follow whatever God is doing. You know, we pay attention to one another. And we pay attention to God. And that's the only real difference. It's not that, oh, that mountain is so anointed. When we get up there, we just move in the anointing. That's not it. It's that we pay attention to God. We're not on our way to buy chips and salsa. Some of us have a harder road here to hoe in that vicinity because we can be so focused on getting our stuff done. And the older I get, it's easier for me to fall into that vein. And you men, you know that your wife can talk to you. And you're not even, you know, she can say a whole thing. And you go, what? And it's like, see, but the thing is that you can turn, can't you, Fred? You can turn off, the voice is talking, but nobody's home over here. Is your wife not talking? Do you know what it can be that way with God? Probably is most of the time. And we don't say it so bluntly like, God, don't bother me here, I'm busy. It's like, we don't say it so bluntly like that. But it's the same thing, selective hearing. And if we would just turn our attention to look, listen to that little prompting that says, I'm doing something here. You and I could turn this community upside down. Because imagine the power that would flow from a people that are being attentive to God. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, simple verse. You know, I think about this. Paul writes to Timothy, preach the word of God. Then he says, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. The older versions would say, be ready in season and out of season, you know. But let's kind of, what does he say? Whether the time is favorable or not. Paul tells Timothy, it's like the key to ministry, Timothy. Preach the word. Be faithful to the word of God. But be prepared. Whether it's a good time or not such a good time. I imagine that Jesus had these moments where he had these choices. Don't you remember that he told his disciples, let's get away for a while. He tried to call them aside and the crowd shows up. You know, and there are lots of things. There are lots of moments. If you read the Gospels and you read the stories of Jesus, there were lots of times where those divine appointments could have been like missed. But Jesus didn't miss them. And there were bothering times. The disciples knew it. Don't bring those kids today. Jesus had a tough day today. He's really not interested in blessing children right now. You read that passage of Scripture? The disciples, they're his number one. They're trying to protect Jesus from this whole thing. And Jesus said, Jesus rebuked them and said, stop it. Bring them here. This is what the kingdom of God is about. It's hard for us, but it would make the difference in the church being all that God wants it to be. Just simply paying attention, whether the time is favorable or not. Hold still. Hold still, Harry. Not yet. Just hold still. You hold still. You got to. You got to. Just shake it off, you know. Just shake it off, you know. And so the thing is that I'm convinced. Do you want chips or salsa or do you want God? I mean, it's the thing. And I'm convinced that you and I would see more of God's activities in our lives if simply we made room for Him. That's the problem with most American church services, by the way. You know, when you hear about overseas and they keep talking about overseas, you know, they got these huge things going. They don't have the same time framework that we do. I don't even know who developed that 1-hour church service and said it's got to be over in an hour. I don't even know. We don't. But I don't know who developed that. I don't know who developed that. The church I grew up in, it was like that. It was like 50 minutes, you know. And if anything, it went over 50 minutes. It was like people are antsy, like they're getting out of there. We got places to go, things to see. And it's like, but I mean, in many of these foreign countries where they don't have all these distractions, all these things commanding their time, and all the stuff, they just go to meet with God. And it goes on. Sometimes it goes on and on. But out of that comes a people who are prepared to want more out of life than just chips and salsa. I want to see God. But to see God means that we have to be willing to listen for that small voice and do what He asks. Just do what He asks. I've told you this story before, but I mean, it's like it bears repeating in this context, and some of you probably haven't heard it. When I lived in Creston, we were going to go to the show. My family was going to go to the show. It was a Saturday afternoon. And so we all pile in the car, and I don't have any cash. And so I thought the quickest way to get cash right now is we're going to stop at the little Creston market where we frequent that little Creston store there. And I'll just write a check. I'll buy some, get some cash, and then we'll be on our way. It's the quickest way we can get to the show on time and that old deal. So I jump out of the car and leave the car running, you know. I go into the store. There's nobody in there. I go and get some whatever it was I bought and then went to the counter. And I look behind the counter, and there's the gal who works there all the time, and her face is just contorted like she's something's wrong. And so I said, "What's wrong with you?" And she says, "I have the worst migraine headache." Bing. You know, this thing inside of me goes, pray for her. And I don't have time. My family's in the car. I want, you know, we're going to the show. It's like, this is not convenient. This is not what did that previous... Huh? This is not a favorable moment, you know. I mean, that's what I was. And besides that, I don't, you know, if I'm going to pray for somebody, I want to spend a little time. I don't want to just, you know, bless them, Lord, and go, you know, that whole thing. And so, you know, I'm just arguing with myself and buy the thing, get my check cash, get some cash, put it in my pocket, head to the door. And every step I took towards the door, I'm just getting worse and worse. I'm going, I've got to do this. Now, why are you laughing? Because you know what I'm talking about? Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? So I turned around and I went back over to her and I say, "Can I pray for you?" "Oh, please do." I reached across the counter. I laid my hand on her. I said, Lord, healer of this headache. Some very simple prayer. I didn't even stop to ask her, how are you doing? I just, amen. And out the door, you know. And it's like, I didn't want to know. And I didn't feel any power. I didn't feel anything special. I didn't even feel it was a very loving act. It was one of those acts that was just like, oh, if I have to, God, I'll do it. Monday comes around, and you know, I was riding my bicycle at that time in my life for my exercise, and I would ride sometimes to the Crescent store and then just sit and have a cup of coffee and visit with people that would come in just to kind of make myself available to people. So I did that on Monday. I rode there to went to get my cup of coffee, and she was in there, and I was afraid to, like, talk to her. I was afraid to even look at her because I thought, you know, she'd just go, what kind of a prayer was that? Or I had a miserable day or whatever. So I didn't even want to, you know, say anything. I just got my coffee and I was hoping. She looked at me and she says, you know, the minute you prayed for me, that headache went away. Listen, superstars we aren't. Just people that have the power of God inside of them. And the only thing that hinders us from being all that God wants, because He wants it for every one of us, can't pay for the gift of healing or the gift of ministry. But who knows? I mean, you know, chips and salsa. You're on your way to a game. And if we just would open our eyes and look around us, let go of our agenda. See, that's what it means. That priest, that Levite, the only reason that they missed that guy, and it was not, I don't think that they were uncompassionate people. I think they were on a mission. They were heading to church. They had responsibilities. They were on the go, you know. That's what I'm paid for. I'm paid to be there. But, you know, it's like all they needed to do was stop. But they didn't. We can. So today, my question is, what do you want? Chips or salsa or God? Popcorn. I'm convinced that we would see more of God. We would see more of God if we would simply make room for God. Make room in our lives. Okay, God, you can interrupt me. Seth. We talk about making Jesus Lord, right? We talk about making Him, that's what it means, to make room for Him. But Lord, I'm on my way. I got to get this done. Not now, Lord. In a few minutes, I'll be ready then. This is my plight too. But let's become the people of God. Pray together. Maybe that demands us standing together too. How about if we stand together? If you need to shake again, shake those chains off. Chains of selfishness and the chains of needing to get somewhere, getting things done, and just like the stuff that hinders us from doing what God wants. Well, we shake that stuff from us. We don't want to live there. I don't want to be so bent on chips and salsa and what I'm doing that I miss a couple in a car that are talking about suicide, or a young person that is struggling, or an older person that wonders how much longer they're going to live, and is there any purpose to life? Lord, we just offer our lives to You again and pray that You'll help us to be attentive to You and to Your voice and to be the people that You've called us to be. Lord, I pray that there'll be no guilt in this place. We all do this. We all kind of miss it. We all become so busy. But Lord, would You just accept our apology, our asking for forgiveness, our repentance, and our desire to say to you, Lord, I want to hear your voice, and I want to do what you asked me to do. So help me. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.